guys. Thank y'all for tuning in to the very first episode of the Story Behind the CEO podcast. And yes, as we promised today, November 8th, 2021, we are here to deliver for you. Guys, this is going to be an amazing season. You're going to get to know so much about your favorite CEOs, and you're going to get to know more about me and my journey of entrepreneurship and how I started my photography business back in 2015, all while still working at corporate America and eventually getting fired, being the mother of one at the time, starting my clothing brand in 2018. All of a sudden, I was a mother of three, still a wife, and here I am in 2021, a mother of four, and we are launching the Story Behind the CEO podcast. Please don't let nobody ever tell you what you cannot do, baby. Kids, husband, no husband, baby. You're going to get some gems in this season. You're going to get some game in this season. You're going to get some inspiration. And look, for my birthday, I don't even want y'all to give me a dollar because I don't want your dollar. I just want your subscription to my YouTube channel, The Story Behind the CEO. That's it. And send it to three of your friends so everybody can watch it together. So I want y'all to make sure y'all tune in all season long because you're going to get some great, great, great advice, some great, great, great takeaways. Thank y'all so much. And let's get into the very first episode of The Story Behind the CEO podcast. What's up, world? I want to welcome y'all to my very first episode of my brand new podcast, The Story Behind the CEO. As I promised, we are here today, November 8th, on my B-Day, my 35th B-Day, y'all. I'm 35. I don't know how to act. Girl, yes, I don't know how to act. But I want to introduce y'all to one of my business besties. She's really a jack of all trades. They call her Mo of Everything. Because she really does everything. If I told y'all what we had to go through today, just to start, I think I'm going to tell y'all later, at a later date. But she does everything, and I really can't live without her, all right? So she is a great mom, great wife, awesome boss. She is the owner of the Dollhouse Salon in Chalmette. Y'all, I want y'all to make sure you follow her. Mo, tell them how to follow you, where to find you, how can they stalk you, where you at?
Hey world, you can find me on, of course, Instagram at Mo of Everything. That's M-E-A-U-X underscore of Everything. I also have a Facebook page, which is under Mo of Everything, and then also my website, www.mooftheverything.com.
All right, y'all. So you heard it. Make sure you get it right down there. Make sure you screenshot it if you have to. Go follow her. If you don't already follow her, you're going to love her. I'm telling you, the sweetest person ever in life. So before we get into anything, y'all, I have to ask her this because I want to know, because it's about to be Thanksgiving and we got to figure this out. Okra or gumbo?
I'm an okra girl.
You like okra? Why not the gumbo?
It's my feeling.
You think it's too New Orleansy? I didn't even know what that's story, but we're gonna roll with it.
No, I'll eat gumbo, but I prefer okra. I like okra. I like the taste of it.
We're gonna take a poll. Because a lot of people think that the okra is too slimy.
You
got to cook it all the way down until you get the slime out, but it is never really all the way out. I love them equally. But I'm just really surprised that you said okra over gumbo. I felt like you was more gumbo. I feel like I don't even know this person. I feel like we've been friends since, 2010-ish?
Forever.
And I don't even know this person.
Yeah.
Because if you would have asked me, is your business bestie like okra or gumbo? I would have said gumbo with conviction. No problem. And I would have lost $1 million. All right, y'all, so let's get down to the real nitty-gritty. So we know who's going to be cooking for Thanksgiving and who just going to be bringing plates and stuff. Y'all, just under the comments, let me know if you a plate friend or if you a pot cooking friend, because we might have to reevaluate some things. But let's get down to it, y'all. Let's get down to it. How did you become Mo of Everything? Because you really do a little bit of everything?
I think I became more of everything because it was so much stuff out in the world that I wanted to try. So initially as a young girl, I always wanted to be a hairstylist. Then when I got into that world and I saw that world, I saw so many other things that I wanted to do. And I wasn't scared to try them. So if I did something and I felt like, okay, you know what? I'm done with it. I've conquered it. I've mastered it. I'm over it. It was on to the next thing that I thought. If I'm scrolling YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, and I see something, somebody's, you know, doing something, I'm like, oh, that looks interesting. I want to try to do that. Mm-hmm. And I would just go find a video on it, learn it, research it for about a week, get the stuff, do it, and that was something new.
So what's one of the first things that you tried? So we know you always wanted to be a hairstylist, but besides hair, what's one of the first things you tried?
What was the first? I tried to have a regular job, but that didn't work out.
I don't think that worked out for none of us. I can't do it.
What did I start after hair?
I know at one point you were making candles.
Oh, I did.
You did.
The candles, yeah, I did do the candles. I think in the salon, I think I got bored. I get bored really fast. So the first thing I think was the candles. And then after, I think I bought the stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I may have melted like maybe 2 pounds of wax. And when I realized you had to wait for it to harden up.
Leave it to the candle makers. Leave it to the people.
I'm over it, baby. So I left that alone, and I had candle wax I was looking to give to people for, like, forever.
Mm-hmm.
After that, I think I started doing more maids, I think.
That was one of my favorite businesses that she started.
I started more maids.
That's a cleaning service, by the way.
And I loved it. I loved it. But I decided to get out of that because it was so hard to find good help.
Mm-hmm.
It was not good health, but you know, it was so good to find people who actually wanted to work and clean the way people told them they're supposed to be clean.
Mm-hmm.
So I had my husband doing that. He would go to work in the morning, do a 12-hour shift. After that, we would take a house, we would take a house first, and then he would go do his 12-hour shift. So it was just putting a lot of strain on it.
Yeah.
So I couldn't find anybody to help out that was reliable. So I left that alone.
So I'm going to say this, and I'm going to say this as a friend, because I've been preaching this since she's had it. That was one of my favorite businesses that she opened, and I want her to start that back up. So if you are a reliable person in the New Orleans area, and you can clean well, and you can be taught, and you are coachable, and you are on time and prompt, please do not hesitate to reach out to more of everything, because Mo Maids will open back up for business. If not in 2021, it will be in 2022. All right, go ahead.
She said it.
Y'all, listen, I was still at my 9-to-5 when that business had came about. And I was willing to stop working. I don't want to go clean. I don't want to do that. Like, I can barely keep my own house clean. So I didn't want to clean, but I was willing to be a secretary, a dispatcher, a researcher, a hirer, something so the business could keep going. So the business could keep going. So let's just pray that, you know, more maids come back in 2022. I'm going to put that out there. So if I put it out there, then it got to come back, and then we're going to revisit this video when it does, so we can say I told you so. And I don't even want 1%. I just want her to do it. That's it. I just want her to do it. So
I don't know why you're so stuck on it.
Because it's lucrative.
Yeah.
You know, people need people to even like clean the Airbnbs and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, ain't nobody want to be refilling toilet paper and stuff like that. But you can find you some people that's okay with refilling toilet paper.
And clean the toilet.
Not me, sis, but you can find, I can help you find these people. So let's go back to your earliest memory of doing hair, because hair is the biggest thing that you're known for. You do have your salon. You've had a few salons. So hair is, I feel like hair is your baby. And then the other things are like your stepkids or something. Well, like stepkids. But even though we love stepkids like kids, but you know what I mean. But hair is that baby that you birthed. So what's your earliest memory of doing hair? And how did you know that you wanted to stick with that?
So my mom was a braider. Mm-hmm. My mom, when I was a little bitty girl, maybe 6-7 years old, she would have people just come in on a weekend. She had a regular full-time job. But on Friday evenings and Saturday mornings, she would just braid. And so she would have like 3 or 4 people just coming in. 4 hours, you're done. 4 hours, you're done. And that's when microbraids were really popular.
Jesus.
So what would take other people 8 hours?
Yes.
It was taking her 4. Mm. So I was like, man, she said.
Right.
And she have a lot of people coming here. And then sometimes I would go in a drawer and ask for certain little things. I was like, can I have some money to get some candy to go to the store? She said, check in the drawer. I opened the drawer. Ooh, money. Big money. Not a little bit of money.
Big old money.
Yeah.
Big old money.
So I was like, okay. So I had baby doll and the hair that she actually had left over. So if, you know, they left hair or whatever, I would take the pack, bring it in my room, and I started braiding the hair.
So you basically taught yourself how to braid. She mm-hmm. didn't.
Just watching her know. She never, like, taught me how to do it. I would just sit there and watch her. And then after she was finished with the hair, I would go in the room and just play with the baby doll. And just started braiding and latching on and locking it. And from there, I just kept doing it, kept getting better. Watching how she moved her hand, go back and do it. And then that's what started it.
But that's funny because, I mean, granted, you have to, you do braid, like, when you do wigs and you got to braid people head down, sew-ins and stuff like that. But you don't even do braids.
I don't like the.
You can. She can. But that's not your thing. Like, nobody comes out of their salon braided up unless they got Meek Mill braids under their wig. So how did you go from watching her? Because she was a braider, but then you went to hair, wigs, you know, sew-ins, silk presses. How did you go from that to that? Because some people can braid, but they can't do hair. But you can do both.
Yeah, so she started actually when I got older, about 15, she started giving me some younger kids to braid.
Mm.
And the braids wasn't staying in, y'all.
not you got me going to my 8th grade dance and my braids slipping.
They were slipping. So, but I just really was starting on real people's hair. I was doing it on my baby doll, so it wasn't tight.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, oh no, I don't like this. It takes too long. It's too much work. I don't want to do this. So when I got, actually, the birth of a hairstylist came from college.
Okay.
When I was on the college campus, we would go out to the campus parties and stuff like that. Everybody needed their hair done. Nobody had real money to really go get their hair done.
Right.
So there was a style where you do the 2-strand twist to the scalp.
Okay.
Let it dry and wear it wavy.
Okay.
So I mastered the 2-strand twist to the scalp.
Okay.
And everybody was coming there every Wednesday and Thursday for the campus parties. Everybody was coming there and they would have different parts. I would mm-hmm. change the parts up, but everybody had pretty much the same style, just a different part. Might be a middle part, side part, deep side part. And that was it. And
what school was this?
This was at Nickel State.
At Nickel State, Louisiana.
Yeah.
Okay. Shout out to Nickel State. So were you charging them to come in? I mean, I know you said everybody didn't have the money. So were you like the freestylers or the really cheap stylists?
The really cheap stylists.
Okay.
Because we all got our phones. Not everybody, but you know.
So you went from braids slipping out at 15 years old to going all the way to college. Now, so that gap between the time you was doing the little kid's hair with your mama and then we still had high school, so you wasn't touching hair in high school either. It was strictly a college thing.
No. I was still braiding.
You had mastered braiding by then.
I just didn't like it.
You didn't like it.
Yeah, I didn't like it because I wanted a car. So they were like, okay, you know, you work for it, we'll get you one. Even though I didn't make a lot of money, they still bought the car.
You just have to be showing that you're doing something to help yourself.
So I still was braiding,
mm-hmm.
but I didn't like it.
So, the two-strand twist with the wavy natural hair, how did we go to silk press wigs and everything else? You're still scalping at this point.
I of course dropped out of college.
Okay.
Because I wanted to be a licensed cosmetologist.
Okay.
So I dropped out of college.
No shame in that.
None. No.
None.
And I met my husband, got pregnant. He asked me, what did I want to do within the next 10 years? I said, well, as of now, I don't know a definite, but I've always wanted to be a licensed cosmetologist. I've always wanted to be a hairstylist. So he's like, okay, after you have Madison, which is my daughter, he said, you go to cosmetology school.
Okay.
So after I had Madison a couple months later, he paid for me to go to cosmetology school. And it was smooth sailing from there. I became a full cosmetologist.
If your man ain't supporting you and your dreams, getting you through school, sis, or whatever it is, rethink it. Shout out to Kelly for that. I know that he paid for you to go to cosmetology school. You all right, bestie. You are. I might cook the gumbo. You all right. And the okra. You all right. So after that, he paid for you to go to cosmetology school. Did you go straight into a salon or were you working under somebody else?
No. So,
I mean,
in cosmetology school, you are not supposed to work in a salon without a license.
I mean, at this point, since we're doing our own thing, so they can't come back on you and say that.
I won't name, salons, but I did work in a couple of salons in cosmetology school. I did.
Okay, and let's just, this is so informative because I didn't know that you weren't supposed to do that while you were in school.
No, they come, state board comes in there and they'll say, oh, we'll take your hours, we'll take your license. I mean, not your license, we'll take your hours away. You're going to go back to 0 hours. I don't know how true it is because I never was like caught in a salon. I know the salon owners can get cited and different things like that, but I don't know how true it was for as me being a stylist.
So, what about people that's just doing it out of their house? Like, I mean, but there would be no way to catch them.
So they're home. Really, you're supposed to go to whatever city you're in and ask them for a permit for that. A lot of people don't do that. If they have like a nosy neighbor that's in the business,
and you always got people in and out of your house and
minding everybody else's business with their own, then you might want to check it out. But other than that, if you're in the area and nobody's really bothering you.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've done people hair in my house.
Right. I mean, I would imagine that you're in school already, probably not working, or if you're working as part-time, so it's probably not as much. So doing hair out of your house would just seem like the next best thing until you're able to get into a salon and either pay boot rent or have your own salon, whichever route you chose to take. Okay, so at what point were you like, all right, it's time to do the salon thing. So you finished cosmetology school. So at what point was it like, all right, I'm ready to do my salon thing? Or was it like a build up? Do I have to work under somebody else?
Yeah, it was a build up.
Okay.
It was a build up. After I finished cosmetology school, of course, I did the state board, all the licenses and everything. Still was kind of working. I went to someone's salon and they were really good in natural hair.
Okay.
She was really, really, really good at natural hair. So so I went under her in her salon and kind of just learned different things on how to do natural hair, how to flat iron. Because that's really all she mainly did.
Mm.
So it helped me to learn how to handle the natural hair, how to treat natural hair, how to flat iron it without burning it. Just everything. After I left there, there was another lady. She was really good with weaves. And cutting and styling.
So she taught you that.
So she taught me the weave side, the cutting and the styling. So then once I was with her, I felt like I hit a standstill. I felt like I've learned the natural side. I've learned the weave side. But I need to learn how to cut and color now.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when I left that salon and I went to Fantastic Sam.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a whole different, of course, race of people. Because
right.
Now I'm playing Caucasian.
Oh.
So I started working there, and that's how I learned how to cut. So it was taking something from everywhere and just kind of moving it along. And when I felt like, okay, there's nothing else that you could possibly teach me,
I
need to move along.
Right.
Yeah, I need to move along because I don't want to be the stylist who, I mean, even though, like, I don't like braids. I know how to do them. If I had to, I would do it.
Right.
But I don't want to be the stylist that does not know how to do it. I'm set on one particular thing.
Yeah.
I didn't want
to
be that.
You wanted to be a choice. Yeah. I'm making a choice not to be a braider.
Yeah.
I think that's really dope. But I think it's even more dope that it seems like you're always willing to be a student.
Yeah.
And I feel like in order to continue to grow, you have to continue to be coachable. You already mastered the braids, then you mastered the natural hair, then you mastered the weave. So it's like, okay, what else can I learn? So many people, I feel like I know how to do this now. Okay, let me just go jump into the salon and then fake it till I make it. And then, hey, if you got to fake it till you make it, knock yourself out. Right. But I think that is really great that you even chose to continue to be a student until you felt like you were good enough to be on your own. So let me ask you this. What were some of the hardest moments that you had to overcome before you were able to stand on your own as a stylist? Because I know it had to have been a journey, especially going from salon to salon. What was some of the hardest moments for you?
Honestly, before I got into my salon, it was smooth sailing.
Mm-hmm.
Believe it or not, it really was smooth sailing. I didn't have any issues. I know in cosmetology school, our instructors would tell us it was hard before you got your salon.
Mm-hmm.
Your salons failed within the first 2 years, different things like that. But it was smooth sailing. It wasn't until I got into the salon as a salon owner. And let me go back. I never wanted to be a salon owner. I never wanted to be a salon owner.
Well, you don't work a 9-to-5, so why not?
I wanted to be a platform artist at the time because I like the spotlight, I like talking, I like moving around and flicking hair all over. So I just thought that was the ideal thing to do.
Okay.
I never wanted to be a salon owner, and I never wanted to stay behind a chair.
Oh.
Yeah.
So how did you go from not being a platform stylist that you wanted to be to actually being the salon owner that you didn't want to be?
For the platforming, I was scared to take the first step. I was because I think that was something that I really wanted to do the most,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't want to fail at that. So
do you regret that?
Do I? No, because I think now I would have been on stage for somebody else.
Mm.
So now my goal is to be on stage for my own stuff, for myself, my products, I have going on. So I don't think I regret it. No, I don't think I regret not doing it. I love having my salon, and it taught me a lot of things about business.
Like what? What's one of the what's one thing that you can tell somebody else who's in your lane or getting into your lane, I think they want to get into your lane, about having their own salon that you feel like they need to know, most people would not want to tell them?
I would say really never stop, never give up, always push forward. There's going to be obstacles that's going to come in your way. As a salon owner, there's going to be a lot of obstacles that come. But when you're there, just keep it moving. Even when you don't feel like getting up, keep it moving. If it's something that you love, it's a passion, keep it as a passion. Because the money comes, and the money comes fast. So when you start getting into, I want it for the money, you lose the passion, and you don't put it into your work. So I would say just keep the passion there. When you leave, don't think about the salon. You know, don't think about the bad things. Try to see what you can do better.
That's hard. That's hard. Because I know it's a lot of days I leave work and take work home. And so I definitely understand that. And I'm going to definitely back you on that one. Let it be what it is and revisit that sucker tomorrow when you come back. And
yeah, because if you keep thinking about it, it's going to make you mope. When you go back, every day you're thinking about what is not happening for you and you're not going to want to be there anymore. So it pushes you away from even wanting to be there. So now it's like, I feel like I'm just here.
So if you were not, so let's take away the 9-to-5 thing. We're mm-hmm. not even thinking about that. But if you were not a salon owner and if you would have completely given up hair, what the hell would you be doing? That's not a 9-to-5. Because I don't think that 9-to-5 thing is your thing. So as an entrepreneur, what do you think would be your number one thing if hair wasn't it?
Girl, I done tried everything.
Don't you have a license to be an insurance adjuster?
I do.
Y'all. Hurricane Ida wasn't that long ago. She could have been at my house. I could have been getting cut up check.
No report.
Yeah. But what is it? I know it. What else do you love on the same, not even on the same scale, because I think your first love is your first love. Mm-hmm. So who is your next love?
Besides my family at home, and I can't stay home all day and do nothing, I'm still learning it. Because even after leaving here, mm-hmm. I still go back.
You do. How many times have you closed down a salon?
So this is going to be my third salon. And that's why I said don't give up. Don't give up. Keep pushing. Keep the passion in it. Because this is actually my third salon.
Why did you have 3 salons?
First salon was awesome. Smooth sailing. I loved it. Smooth sailing. My grandfather passed away. Mm-hmm. And once my grandfather...
Go ahead.
Once my grandfather passed away with my first salon, I didn't want it. I didn't want to have anything to do with it. I didn't want it.
Was it because, I know y'all were really close, so was it because you were grieving and you just didn't want to be a part of like everyday life at that point? You just kind of wanted to be a little hermit crab in your bed and you wanted to grieve on your own time and not be forced to go to work?
I didn't experience that before in my life. Like, maybe a little girl, so I've never experienced that in my adult life, that close.
So nobody?
No. People around me, but not in my immediate family, no. So I've never really experienced that. But when it happened for me, it was a lot going on. I had just had my third daughter. Mm-hmm. Well, not my third, my second daughter, my third child.
So we had on the same day, actually. She had her third child. Was Caleb my third child? 1, 2, 3?
Yeah.
And we had both of our third children on the same day at 2 different hospitals. Yo.
Soul sister. But, I had just had Mom Mackenzie. And,
it was just too much for you?
It was hard. Because my grandmother was the person on weekends that would actually babysit her. For me, mm-hmm. her and my mom. And, my mom had things she had going on with the church and stuff like that. So a lot of times she couldn't do it. Well, because my grandmother was grieving, a lot of times she wasn't up to the babysitter.
Be a babysitter, so yeah.
It was hard to have a salon full of people and then a baby.
Right.
And, Mackenzie used to tear the salon up.
Yeah.
Tear the salon up.
That's why Kelly started school, because she can no longer work with me. I thought it was cute at first, and then... Yeah. Just started pulling stuff down, so I definitely understand.
Right. So I couldn't bring them.
Yeah.
And I really didn't have anywhere for her to go. Mm-hmm. The clientele was picking up. I hadn't grieved properly.
That's so important, too.
I was in there masking what was going on. There were other things that were going on that we won't even talk about, with friendships and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. There were other things that were going on that all of that came at once.
So your whole personal life is going to shit and you have to wake up and come to work.
Yeah.
And we're not even going to call it work, but you have to wake up and still fulfill your passion.
Yeah.
And you're not even giving yourself a week or two to say, let's shut the books down. Let me cry.
I couldn't because it's a long time. People wanted hair, and I was selling bundles at the time as well. Hair. So people wanted hair. People wanted sewing deals. So it was just coming. That's why I say always, it's not always about the money, because when you forget who you are and you're getting the money, you're still not living.
So you're putting everybody else's needs before yours, basically. Yeah. So how did your home life even, like, how was your husband and the kids? How was all of that while you were masking how you felt to the outside world and going to work? How were they dealing with what you, were they feeling it? Were they not feeling it? Like,
who was seeing this? Taking care of the house, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I would come home from the salon, I'm crawling to the sofa.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've been in there from 6 a.m. in the morning, 5 a.m. sometimes, until 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. So I don't even have the kids. So it's like he's working his 12-hour shifts. He's getting off. He's getting the kids from wherever they are, from wherever, you know, his mom, my mom, my grandmother. Yeah. So he's picking the kids up. He's feeding the kids, you know. Yeah. So by the time I get home, he's asleep.
So did that kind of take a toll on your marriage in any kind of way? Like, not, like, how was he even dealing with you doing that? Because I could imagine the first couple of times, it's like, all right, she hustling. She out there doing what she got to do. But then, you know, after a while, because you know how we get, baby, what's going on?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, you coming home, you, like, what's up?
I need you to step up. He was just like, I need you to step up. I need you to do more. And I'm like,
as a mom, in a way.
Yeah. It was like, your girls need you.
Then, so did you feel like at that moment, did you kind of step outside of yourself and say, okay, let me think about me and my family and let me shut it down? Or was it like a breakdown moment to where I can't goddamn do this right now?
I think I still went about it maybe for about another 6 months.
Well, damn, huh?
Yeah. I was in and out. But that's when I started finding like the little temp job. That's how I started transitioning into the temp job. So that way, if I can get a temporary job to kind of take up some of the slack from me working all day at the salon. And I didn't have to work all day in the salon. I just, money was coming in.
So let's back up. So he asked you to step up. Mm-hmm. Like, we need you home. We need you to be home. And you go get a job?
Yeah, we got a...
So you go get the job. So explain it. So you go get the job and you cut the salon hours down.
I cut the salon hours down.
So which means that you're making less money, because when you were there all day, the money was just rolling mm-hmm. in. So why not just cut the hours down but extend the days instead of saying, I'm going to go and get a job?
It was... So, I had my set clients who had their time.
Okay.
So, it was like, you come for 5 p.m. on a Tuesday.
Okay.
But now, I can't go 5 p.m. on a Tuesday.
Okay.
Can you come Saturday morning? No, I can't come Saturday morning because Tuesday is my day.
It's my day, yeah. That's how it was set up. Yeah,
and okay. I've been doing this for so many years now. I've been, following you this along, that along. Tuesday at 5 p.m. is my day. I've been doing it.
Yeah,
so my client started, of course, transitioning to different people, because first it started off and I'd be like, okay, I'm not available on Tuesday, Wednesday. I'm not available on Wednesday and Thursday.
Okay.
Then I'm not available on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday.
Mm.
Okay, so then now I can only work on Saturday. But then Saturday come, I can only work from 7 to 12 because my grandmother, I dropped my baby off at 7, but my grandmother need me to come pick her up at 12 noon. I don't have anybody else to babysit. Mm. So now everybody's calling and I'm not answering the phone because now it's too much.
And you still not grieving properly?
No.
All of this?
Still not even thinking about it. Not even thinking about it. In addition to that, you know, you have snakes in the industry.
Mm-hmm.
You have snakes in the industry. So I lost a lot. I lost some friends because of certain business transactions that you did with people.
Mm-hmm. Can we talk about the business transactions without talking about, without naming people?
We can talk about it.
Okay, so what business transaction?
So, of course, like I said, I sold hair.
Okay.
I have been having my eyes applied for probably since I was in beauty school. I started looking at the suppliers when I was in beauty school.
Okay.
Hair was awesome. Hair was awesome. But as the hair world was, the Brazilian hair world was growing, the vendors were going up. So my vendor had tripled my price. But now I'm not making money because the little man hustling on the street drew from 180. Shortcut undercut me, but I paid 180 for my bundle. So I had someone who called and said they were a supplier. And I knew them. Very good with them. They were a supplier. And they were going to be a supplier. So I sent them a good amount of money for hair.
Okay.
I only received half of the hair. And I've never to this day received any more money back from the hair or the rest of the hair. The hair that I received, I did a sewing for someone who I went to college with.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking you can trust everybody. And the hair started tangling.
So it's not even the hair that you were getting. So first of all, being the kind of person that you are, how do you even deal with that situation in any type of professional manner without wanting to fuck somebody up?
I haven't. I just got along recently. Not still left it alone.
It's amazing. It's amazing how people can do you wrong and still look in your face.
I was like, you know what? And it wasn't because of me, because you know me. Like, you can do it, whatever. It's me. Okay, whatever. I'll give you a pass.
Right.
I'm okay with that.
I ain't giving no passes.
You know. But, you know, I'll be like, I'm going to give you a pass. So, but I felt like when I do referrals, I'm a business owner.
Right.
I don't care how much I joke outside of doing business, I'm a business owner.
Right.
So if I do a referral, I expect you to be professional.
Right.
I expect you to handle your business.
And business wasn't handled.
And business wasn't handled.
So on top of grieving, on top of trying to be a better wife, trying to be a better mom, new kid, then you get messed over in the industry. I'm not even going to say this person was a friend. We're going to say a industry associate. At what point do you shut it down? Because it seemed like we're still moving. We're still rocking and rolling. And how long has it been?
So that was all within that last little 6 month gap. But like I said, I was going back and forth to the same agency. So around maybe, I want to say August of that same year. I can't even remember the year. So I'm not even going to try to think of it. My AC went out at the shop. That's alone.
Okay.
So now my husband and I, we got to pay for that. So now my husband and I, we got to pay for that. So we got the AC working. It worked until that February or that March. And my lease was up in May. I probably was going into the salon maybe once or twice a week by then. Just kind of trickling in, doing a little quick weave here. Almost there's a big event in the city, something like that.
So trying not to fully give it up. Okay.
Trying to figure out if it's still something that I wanted to do.
Okay.
And around March, of course, it starts to get warm. AC went completely out again. So after the AC went out, I just thought, I don't want to do it.
That was the last straw.
I told my makeup artist, I said, I'll let you stay here until the lease is up. I'm not coming back. I don't want to be here. So that was like 2 or 3 months that she was in there by herself.
You think that was one of those things that happened because you needed that time off? So it was kind of like the universe forcing you to take your time off?
I think so. Because I would still be gone. Still be gone. Headaches and all, child. Migraines and all. Still be moving.
Why is it so important, you feel like, to put other people? Because I feel like that's exactly what you're doing. To put other people before yourself. Like, you think, because like you said, they were transitioning. Some of them, if you're not giving them their days and their time, they transition to other people. So why not give yourself the proper break?
I think because the hair was all I ever wanted to do. I always wanted to be a hairstylist. So now that I'm here and now that the people, I was just so excited that I didn't have to fight for clients or, you know, compete for clients. Like, as soon as I got in my salon, I opened my salon with, like, five faithful clients.
Yeah.
Five.
It seems to me, every time you go back, the people just come on back.
I opened my salon with five faithful clients, and they were coming to my house, the other salons, they were traveling. And I didn't know that it was going to be what it was. It was just, I just want to see what's going to happen. I've always wanted a hair salon in a mall with big glasses, big windows, whatever. You know,
so extra.
That's what I did, and not knowing that people were gonna come, and word of mouth was like coming. I mean, traveling, people were just coming in, and they were like, "Hey, so and so told me about you." I'm like, "Who? I don't even know her," but right. Somebody would, of course, refer them to me.
But you're really good with marketing and putting yourself out there, because you're one of the first people, probably one of the only people. No, I'm gonna say first. One of the first people that told me about taught me about the groundwork. Like, oh, we're gonna make these flyers. We're gonna go hand them out to people in the neighborhood. We're gonna go door to door. We're gonna do this. And I'm like, I'm not doing all of that to try to be promoting my stuff. Like, I always felt like that. And you like, no, bitch. We're gonna make these flyers. We're gonna go put them on people's cars in the parking lot. And I'm just I'm always like, I'm not doing that. Like, you're not about to get me to do all of that. So when you're saying that you opened back up and all these people came, and you don't even know where they came from because you don't even know the person that referred them, you was already doing the groundwork. You was already the flyers. You was making all these videos for YouTube. You know, you was real heavy into your marketing. So saying you don't know where they came, I don't care where they came from, they're here. And if you got good energy and you on time and we vibing, we cool, and you can be a lifetime customer, I think that's a great thing that that other people might need to kind of to catch on to, because I think some people kind of think that the social media marketing is it and it should stop there. Besides the social media marketing, what would be two other forms of marketing that you would give to somebody else who came to you for advice about starting their own business? How else would you tell them to put themselves out there to get the clientele?
I always tell people, make sure you get your flyers out and you walk. You walk the parking lot.
Girl, my circle been closed 4 times on my Apple Watch, but I don't chew with all that walking.
When I first opened my first salon, I walked Walmart parking lot maybe like 4 times a day. And it was crazy because one of the ladies came in the salon and she was at the hair store. I'm lying. She was at the hair store and I gave her a flyer.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, oh, I got this flyer on my car at Walmart. And I said, okay, that's good. Now you can come on over there because you know where we are.
Right.
And she came.
Okay, so definitely social media. Definitely doing the groundwork, hand-to-hand with people, I guess, or face-to-face with the people. Mm-hmm. What's one other form of marketing that you would tell them? And do you feel like once you get to a certain level, you shouldn't have to market as much? Or do you think you should go harder?
I think you should. It depends on you.
Mm-hmm.
Depends on your level and where you are.
Mm-hmm.
I can create my own flyers. I can create my own videos. I can edit them. I can make the music. I can do all of that. Some people can't do that. So if they don't have the funds to do it, then it's something different. But you always want to make sure that you're marketing some kind of way.
Mm-hmm.
I always say, I'm a marketer. I'm not a salesman. I will never sell anything to you, but I will market the F out of it.
Yeah, I mean, certain things you don't have to necessarily sell to me. Mm-hmm. If it works, it works.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think once you do the marketing, you get them there, you here now.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to vibe, we're going to do all, you coming back, I don't have to sell you shit.
And then I tell people, depending on what industry you're in, marketing is you.
Yeah.
You are marketing.
Yeah.
You are a walking billboard.
Yeah.
So if you're a hairstylist, keep it up. I had a different way when I was in the salon. I am in the salon now, but now it's just kind of like laid back now.
Mm-hmm. You didn't even know you worked for.
Oh. Not in the car. Well, if you're going to the store, take the bonnet off, put your wig on. You know, you can go to moreofeverything.com and order your wig.
So
get it custom made.
You one of those people who be looking at the people in the store with the bonnets on and be like, baby, why she lying? You agree?
Now you trying to,
you agree with you, the other Monique?
Now you trying to give me dry.
I just want to know, do you agree with the other Monique that went? So we travel a lot, okay? So we're always at the airport. We don't never go. We have
no. I have tied up
for good reason.
Yeah,
tied up once. That was once.
Yeah,
but none of us have ever been to the airport with a bonnet on.
No.
So I'm your friend. And we about to go fly back to California. Mm-hmm. I just want to know if I come to the airport with you. I'm looking like, nice, though. I can look just like this. My makeup done, everything.
Because what am I going to tell you? Exactly my word. What am I going to tell you?
Bitch, if you don't take that fucking bonnet off.
And I'm going to also say, I'm not fucking sitting on side of you with that bonnet on your head.
So you gonna be embarrassed to sit by me?
Yeah, I'm gonna be embarrassed. Yeah, I mean, no. She.
When she say her, she really mean her plus her three other friends that's always with her. Mm-hmm. Because if it's her, we can't. You probably didn't let me go to the gas station with a bonnet on.
No, I would.
I don't know.
I probably would say something, but I'm probably going to duck down in a car or something like that. Like, I'm not in there. Y'all do what y'all want. You heard it. Do what you want. I want
this. You heard it here first. All right, y'all. So, let's close it out, Mo. I want you. It's one little girl right now in Indiana watching us on YouTube. She's 14 years old, and she want to own her own salon one day because she been braiding baby dolls' hair since she was 7 years old. She want to be a braider, a cutter. She want to slay vibes. She want to wig. She want to sew ends. She wants to be a mom and a wife one day, too. What would you tell her? Because at home, she is not getting the inspiration that she needs. So she turns to motivational videos and other people in the industry to uplift her. So what would you tell her so that way she does not fall off and go down another road?
Little girl in Indiana, you are capable of achieving your highest dream. Don't let anyone tell you that it's not possible because it is. Follow your heart. Follow your passion. Even though someone close to you may not agree with it, it's here with you. Don't ever stop.
I second that. And so we can't close it out no better than that. Y'all, I want y'all to know this podcast is sponsored by Crown Me Collections, www.crownmecollections.com. Make sure you go and shop with your girl. I'm the CEO of Crown Me Collections, which is my clothing brand. I'm the CEO of Crown Photography, which is my photography studio in Gretna, Louisiana. So crownphotos.com. If you need to book your pictures, your family pictures, your children's pictures, wedding events, baby showers, 360, whatever you need, hit me up. So, I'm going to be interviewing all these different CEOs, but this particular CEO, and maybe another one, I don't know yet, but for sure, this one is going to have the opportunity to interview me, and you will get to know me as well on a more personal level. So, definitely be looking forward to that. But I want to thank her because I do appreciate her because not only did she come to be my don't cut this out either. Not only did she come to be my very first person on my podcast, but they have forgot the sound working. Y'all, let me tell you. Even I knew what I needed, but I didn't quite, you know, it didn't kind of register to me. That's not my thing. You know, I just wanted to make sure our lighting was good, the camera was working. I wanted to make sure I show up, that I had a new clean white backdrop for us to be on, and that it was comfortable. So I never not once said, y'all, I didn't even get the right mic stands. That's why we holding. So I just, but she showed up and she showed out for me. She had work to do today, and she's still here working, but she came to show up for me, and that I can't go without saying that I definitely appreciate that. I love you so much, because I really, y'all, I'm not about to cry. So I thank you guys for tuning in with me. I would love if you would leave your feedback in the comments. Let us know if you enjoyed the conversations. Let us know if you laugh. Let us know if you like okra or gumbo. Let us know if you're the plate friend or the pot stirring friend. We want to know. We want to know, did you have an aha moment? We want to know if you were inspired. And the little girl in Indiana, we want to know if you got it. And if you need further assistance with anything, any motivation, helping to start your business, if you need your hair done, if you're trying to start your own podcast, if you need your family photos, your children's photos, if you need inspiration, motivation, encouragement, please do not hesitate to reach out. My email is storybehindceo@gmail.com. And what I can't help you with, I will direct you to somebody who can. But we have to help one another. And we have to start this, what I call this healing process. And we're going to do it one episode at a time. And whether we do it through laughter, through crying, we're going to get it done. So I thank y'all for rocking with me. I thank y'all for journeying with me, journaling with me. And make sure you follow my Instagram at the Story Behind the CEO. And please subscribe and hit the bell to my YouTube channel, The Story Behind the CEO. Thank y'all so much. We out.